During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, June 19th, 2017. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati here with Jake Gutierrez as the Royals beat the Angels 7-3, and they end up 7-2 on the road trip. An excellent road trip to the West Coast for the Kansas City Royals. They win 3 of 4 against the Angels. They sweep the two-game series against the Giants, and they won 2 out of 3 against the San Diego Padres. So 7-2 on this road trip to the West Coast, and now they find themselves in third place. The Royals are in third place right now, 33-35, just 2 games under .500, 3.5 games behind Cleveland, because Cleveland took care of business against the Minnesota Twins. While the Royals were fattening up on West Coast competition, that's exactly what the Twins, Cleveland Indians are doing against the Minnesota Twins. The Indians swept the Twins, and this could be the beginning of the downfall of the Twins. The Twins coming back down to earth and turning into what we thought they were. I don't think they'll be as bad as what anyone thought they would be, but they certainly aren't the best team in this division. And Cleveland, I think, maybe gave them a heavy dose of reality. And maybe this is what sparks Cleveland and turns them around. They have now won 5 in a row as they have moved ahead in the Central. They are 36-31. They are 2 games ahead of Minnesota at 34-33 and 3.5 games ahead of the Kansas City Royals. The Royals only 1.5 games behind Minnesota and 3.5 behind Cleveland. Now Cleveland is in first place. We will see if they ever give it up. And we'll see if it turns out to be the Indians and the Royals battling for first place, and they leave the Minnesota Twins behind. This sets up a fun homestand for the Royals. They get the Boston Red Sox to start things off tonight out at Kauffman Stadium with the red-hot Jason Hamill on the mound. Then Matt Strom gets his second start. Oh, boy. Matt Strom against Chris Sale on Tuesday night at Kauffman Stadium, and then Ian Kennedy will get the nod on Wednesday. So you've got 3 against Boston and 3 against Toronto before the Royals go on the road to take on the Detroit Tigers next week. But we'll focus on these 6 games, a big week at home. The Boston Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays come calling for the Kansas City Royals. And again, tonight, Jason Hamill, the guy that you want on the mound, he is he has been very, very good his last few starts. If you look back his last 3 starts, he went 6 2/3 and only gave up 3 runs and struck out 7 against Cleveland. He pitched 7 innings and only gave up 1 run and didn't walk anybody. He had 4 strikeouts against Houston. And then his last start against San Francisco, he goes 6 2/3, only walked 1. And gave up 1 run. So 5 earned runs in his last 3 starts, and he's only walked 1, and has seen his ERA fall all the way from 6.18 to 5.05 in his last 3 starts. We'll see if that continues against a very tough lineup, but the Royals and the Boston Red Sox tonight, and the pitching matchup should favor the Royals as Hector Velasquez goes to the mound for the Boston Red Sox. And then you'll see Chris Sale and then Drew Pomeranz as the 3 starting pitchers for the Boston Red Sox. But the Royals look terrific against the Angels. Part of it is the fact that the Padres and the Giants and the Angels aren't very good. However, the Angels still have a better record than the Royals. They're at 36-37, so they're not terrible. The Padres and the Giants, they both look to be terrible as they battle each other for last place in the West. The Padres are actually ahead of the Giants right now. They're 28-42. They're 17 games behind the Rockies. And the San Francisco Giants, the mighty Giants, are 19.5 games out of first place. So there's reason to believe that the Royals were benefiting from a soft spot in the schedule, but you got to beat those teams. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with taking advantage of lesser competition when you have the opportunity. Like I said, the Angels aren't that bad of a team. They're just one game below 500. They were above 500 before the Royals came to town and won 3 out of 4. But the Royals now sit at 33-35 on the season, and they are making believers out of many, many people. There are a lot of people already, that a lot of Royals fans on Twitter, and a lot of Royals fans that are not on Twitter, but have my cell phone number and text me about the Royals too much, telling me, see, I told you, they can't sell. They're still in this thing. They still have a chance to win it. And they do. They're only 3.5 back. We'll see if the Indians, we'll see if this 5-game winning streak, you know, this hot stretch is for real. But the Twins are falling apart. The Tigers have not been playing well. The White Sox are done. They're going to start trading players very, very soon. They're going to start trading their bullpen. I think Jose Quintana is going to go. David Robertson is going to go. They've already fallen down to 31-37, so don't worry about the White Sox. And I think the Tigers helped. It looks like the guy that took over for K-Rod, Justin Wilson, is one of the players that Washington is targeting to try to upgrade their bullpen. So maybe Detroit right now at 32-36, they're making the tough decision to go ahead and sell. So if the Tigers are selling and taking themselves out of it, and the White Sox end up selling and they take themselves out of it, and the Twins are falling apart and they're just coming back down to earth and regressing to what they were supposed to be, and that leaves the Indians and the Royals in a legitimate 2-team race, does that make you feel even stronger about not selling if that's the way you feel right now? Do you feel like the Royals are a real part of the Central Division? They are right now. The Indians are starting to get hot, but the Royals have been hot. A 7-2 road trip will do that for you. Nate, Jake, does this West Coast road trip combined with the struggles of 3 of the teams in the Central lead you to believe that it's time to put the pedal to the metal, forget about selling, and see if the Royals can do this one more time in the AL Central?
Well, I mean, it makes me think they're a contender for sure. I think that it makes me at least put the idea of selling on hold till the very last minute, which you still have, you know, a month and a quarter, a month and a half to change your mind if you want to. I don't think I'd be going out and trying to acquire people in trades right now if I'm the Kansas City Royals just yet, but I'm definitely going to hold off on selling because of all the stuff you just listed off. I mean, maybe this is where the Indians get hot and they start to pull away. But, you know, Buster gave us enough reasons to think that the Indians are going to struggle, especially with their pitching rotation this season. And as you said, none of us have been believers in the Twins. We were saying last week that you're not going to win the division with the worst ERA in the league. And that's what they have. And they're coming back to earth. They've lost 4 in a row. So, yeah, the Royals fattened up on a couple bad teams, but the Angels are a mediocre team like the rest of almost the entire American League. They're not a bad team. They're just a mediocre team. And the Royals just took 3 out of 4 from their place and punished them in a couple of games. I know they took a 9-0 loss there, but the other 3 games they won. And so, yeah, team's starting to hit. Guys who weren't hitting are starting to hit. And the pitching's been pretty good. So why can't this team at least stay in it? You know, what makes this team, if you really think about it, they had a terrible month of April. Since then, they played significantly above 500 baseball. And I don't see why they can't at least keep playing barely above 500 baseball the rest of the way, and that might be enough to win the division.
Are you a believer yet, Jake?
Are they 500 yet?
So just magically, if they win 2 more games, yep, then you'll be a believer.
I'm in.
See, now that's ridiculous.
Yep.
So if they just win these next 2 games, then you're a believer.
Then I'll start believing, yep.
Just 500?
500. Give me to 500.
So if there were 515 games out of first, you'd be a believer.
Yeah, because they'd probably still be closer to the wild card than they are right now.
Texas is 500. They're 11 games back.
Would you believe if you were
ahead of the Royals
fan?
In the wild card, though?
Right.
It's true.
Right.
So I believe in the Rangers.
The Royals are The Royals improved from A-hole. Fourth place to third place during this road trip, and they improved in terms of their division standings by two games. I think they're two games out of the wild card now.
Right.
Yeah, the Royals are two games out of the wild card right now. There's a lot of teams in the mix there. That's the nature of the American League right now. There's a lot of teams hovering right around 500.
Not a lot of teams that have been to two World Series.
That's right. There's a lot of guys on this team that know how to win, know what it means, know what it takes.
I was watching High Heat with Chris Russo.
Mm-hmm.
And what's his sidekick's name? The guy looks like he might kill you if things went wrong. I don't know. I don't know why. I just said that. He's a little unnerving.
Is it, I'm sorry, I'm too early in the morning right now.
Right.
I'm drawing a blank.
Is it early? So they were having a discussion about pretenders and contenders, and they're both, this is on Friday, Thursday, or whenever I was watching the last. Look out for the Royals. Look out for this team. All of a sudden now they're only whatever X amount of games out of first, and should they be selling? Should they be all in trying to make one more run? And a sidekick, and I enjoy that show, and I think it's smart baseball talk. I like it. If I want a national perspective, I'll watch High Heat. I enjoy Christopher Russo anyway, but and so his sidekick made the point, like, hey, you know, with some of these other teams that may have to take a step back and sell, they'll be right back in it next year or the year after, or maybe like what the Yankees did. You know, they sold last year, but they can come right back and be right in it. For the Royals, because of the amount of free agents and just what the situation is, let's be honest, you know, it is what it is. Once this window closes this year, who knows how long it's going to be before they're legitimate contenders again. And you're talking about a team that has participated in two of the last three World Series and won one of them, and the other one they went to seven games. So why in the hell would you be talking about selling? This might be your last chance for a long time to make a real run with this nucleus that won the American League Championship two of the last 3 years. They've got that over a lot of these teams. And that's meaningful. They've been there. They've done that. They've won important games in the dog days of August. They've come through when they've needed to. They've erased deficits before in the Central, and they've won. And so I think they pretty much both declared them contenders. You know, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And they both expected Cleveland. You know, Cleveland's supposed to be the team that runs away with the division, but they haven't. Just because you're supposed to do something in sports, that doesn't mean it happens. How many times have we seen that before? It's so what? It's time to forget about what a team was supposed to do and start paying attention to what a team is right now. We're deep enough into the season for that. We're deep enough. We're supposedly 40 games is what everyone looks at. Well, we're well past 40 games. Denny Green said it. You are what we said you were. Whatever. I don't know. I don't know what he said. He played the drums, and he was a terrific football coach. That's what he said. My point is, this
the
is
the Bears are who we thought they were.
Right.
That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their.
No, I'm not going to crown anybody.
They are who we thought they were.
Are they? Do you want to crown their ass? You want to crown Cleveland? I don't. I'm not crowning them yet. I mean, and look at the NL Central. It's the same thing. You got teams like Pittsburgh, and Milwaukee, trying to figure out: are we in this thing? Wait a minute. The Cubs were supposed to win 105 games. Why aren't they? Mm-hmm. Why aren't they? How come they're not on pace for 100 wins? That's what they're supposed to do every year now for the next 5 years. Well, what's going on now? And the Pittsburgh's similar to the Royals, like thinking, well, it feels like we're in it, but aren't the Cubs supposed to be better? And like, if you're Milwaukee, you've got this plan to rebuild. If you're Milwaukee now, they're like, whoa, hold on now. The Cubs have some problems. Maybe we should add something. Maybe we shouldn't have our yearly fire sale. Look, the Royals are in it. And sometimes you need to look around and see what national people are saying. Usually it's wrong about the Royals. But high heat, they brought the heat, baby. I said, why wouldn't you be in it? Why wouldn't you go after it? You know, if there's a team that's going to scare the Indians, it's not going to be the Twins. It's not going to be the White Sox. It's not going to be the Tigers. Who's it going to be for the Indians?
We can't say Royals.
The Royals. Oh, they're no joke. They've been to two World Series. That team knows how to win. They got that little something. All right, then. Mm-hmm. Now, the Indians have handled themselves against the Royals just fine, but my point is the Royals have proven they've done it. They can do it. Could they do it again? I don't know, but they look pretty good. I'm willing to believe.
Yeah, I mean, Dave Schoenfeld believe. Wrote something very similar on, it's the top story at ESPN's baseball page this morning, is, you know, the fact that the Royals right now are contenders. Real or not, question mark, Royals are contenders. And his point is, like, look, in the American League right now, the Oakland A's have the worst record in the American League, and yet they're only 4.5 games out of the last wild card spot. So everybody's kind of a contender in the American League from a mathematical standpoint right now. But
what team do you think is actually capable of winning?
Right.
The Royals.
Right. I think that, you know, let's just sit back and let, like you said, sit back and watch and enjoy.
I'm going to sit on the edge of my seat. I'm going to get fired up. I'm not sitting back for nothing. I'm ready. I'm all in. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. Coming up at the show today, we are going to talk to Brian McCray at 7, Sam Mellinger at 8. We've got some post-game from Ned Yost right now. We'll also have some post-fight sound from the Andre Ward, Sergey Kovalev fight. And I'm going to tell you what, I am feeling it. I told you Ward was going to win again. And let me tell you this, that was a very satisfying and enjoyable fight. Number one, because it's Father's Day weekend, and I watched the fight with my boys, with Richie and Phil, and they're excited to watch the fight with me, whether they pretend or not, I don't know. I think Phil sometimes pretends, but I think Richie's genuinely excited to watch fights, so I've turned him into a huge fight fan. You know what? Phil just doesn't say much. I'll take what I can get. He was there with me. I don't care what his intentions were. All I know, he was there with his father watching the fights, making me happy on a Saturday night. And then I love Andre Ward, and there's so many Andre Ward haters for a guy that's been a good role model, that won a gold medal for his country, and that hasn't lost as a professional. And all I had to do was sit and listen to Kovalev talk about how he was going to end Ward's career. That was a quote. He's going to end his career. He'll never fight again. He's going to beat him so bad. All this other stuff. And Ward just said, he ain't going to do nothing. Because I fought guys like Kovalev my whole life. Talk. Then you get in the ring, they don't back it up. And he didn't back it up. And Ward, you're going to read, if you didn't see the fight, you're going to read stuff about low blow after low blow. The belt line is not low. Now, the last punch was a little bit low, but also Kovalev was hunched over, bent over, because he was looking for a way out of the fight. He looked for a way out of the fight 2, 3, 4 times. He would get hit on the belt line, that the referee, Tony Weeks, said in the opening instructions before the fight, this is good here, this is good here. Point to the belt line. Anything below is going to be illegal. And I went back and watched where he pointed, and he pointed exactly where Ward was landing punches throughout the fight. And a couple of times, he'd get hit on the belt line, he'd bend over and look at the ref and stop fighting. The ref's like, keep fighting. That's a legal blow. You need to keep going. He was looking for a way out, because here, in a nutshell, I'll tell you what happened. Kovalev knocked Ward down in the second round of his first fight, and he expected him to stay down and then walk right through him. But like great champions, you find out what they're made of when they get hurt, when they face adversity. Ward came up, made adjustments, and won the rest of the fight to the point where I thought he won by 1 point instead of the other three judges. Kovalev has never been able to get over that, because everyone else he's touched like that, everyone else he's put down, stayed down, or he dominated, or cowered after that, all right? But Ward stood up to the bully, And then the adjustments, I thought, carried over to the next fight, and Ward was winning, in my opinion, by 1 point of a close fight. But like the first fight, Kovalev was fading and looking for a way out, and he was going to get knocked out, and he got stopped, and Andre Ward proved he's the better fighter. After the first fight, Kovalev said he overtrained. He said that his training camp didn't go well. He didn't know that pitter-pat punches counted as points. He had this whole list of excuses. Now he's got a whole nother list of excuses. And guess what? He was the one trying to stay busy with the pitter-pat punches, and Andre Ward was delivering the heavy shots. So now they don't like the way it was scored that way, and he thinks he should have been ahead in the fight, and there's everything else. How about this? Bottom line, you're going to hear some unbelievable sound from his promoter, Kathy Duva, yelling at fans in the press conference and all this other stuff. Bottom line is this. Andre Ward right now, based on level of competition, he's the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world, and he proved it on Saturday night, and it was glorious. And all the Andre Ward haters, just got to get used to it. All right? You get tired of him winning, and he won again, and he beat Kovalev. And Kovalev is an excuse maker against Andre Ward. He keeps making excuses over and over again. Admit that the guy beat you twice. He wants to fight him again? Let him fight him again. He'll get beat again. This time will be even worse. All right, and he ran out of gas to a greater extent this fight. After he said, well, I overtrained, and that's why I ran out of gas. So what's your excuse this time? Why'd you run out of gas? Point is, don't believe all this crap people are writing. They've already looked. The Nevada State Athletic Commission has looked at the punches, and those punches on the belt line are good, just like the referee described right before the fight started. Thank you. And I love body shots. Andre Ward, that was magnificent. And he worked Sergey Kovalev on Saturday night. Now, let's hear from Ned Yost. After the Royals game, Jason Vargas worked the Angels. Here is Ned Yost on Vargas' outing.
He was pretty good, actually. You know, the first inning, he was just off a little bit. You know, they got the two runs. RBI, Calhoun, the double off the wall, and then down. I thought he did a great job, in between innings, because we were putting some long offensive innings in, really kind of, you know, disrupting his timing a little bit, but just came back out and, was really, on track, I thought, throwing the ball really, really well. Got to the sixth and started laboring, had bases loaded, nobody out, but did what he does best. He limited the damage, gave up one run, and his day was over.
Limited the damage. Vargy was, boy, man, I can't believe how good Vargas has been this year. He's been a joy to watch. Jason Vargas pitching like the Royals ace, and they've needed him since Danny Duffy has gone on the DL. And that's another thing. Danny Duffy's coming back pretty soon. Nate Karns, I don't know. Remember, he was only going to miss a start?
Yeah.
So I don't know about that one. They say that Danny Duffy is ahead of schedule, so that's good news. And if we could just get Duffy back, if the Royals could get Duffy back, that'd be just fine. But I'd like to get Karns back in some role. But
it's kind of awesome watching Danny Duffy on Twitter while the team's out of town, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That'll at some point blow up, but, I won't expect that to last forever. But enjoy it. Like you said, enjoy it while it's happening. Here is Ned Yost on the bullpen. Moylan, Alexander, and Herrera pitching in yesterday's game. Here is Ned Yost on their effort.
Alexander, Moylan, everybody did a great job. Kel coming in, that's perfect right there. Alexander got one out, so Kel doesn't have to get three in that situation, up four, and Kel comes in, and it's a quick, double play ball. Which is exactly what you want. You don't really want them out there throwing a whole lot of pitches. So Alexander and Moreland did a great job of setting it up.
Also, Ned Yost talking about the offense bouncing back after doing nothing the previous game against Alex Meyer. He made the Royals' offense look very bad. Then the Royals scored 7 runs in yesterday's win. Here's the Royals manager Ned Yost on the bounce-back effort from the offense.
Yeah, a nice job. I mean, we really worked the pitch count. We got Ramirez's pitch count up early. I mean, he was up around the 80 pitch mark in the third inning. But Moose with a big two-out triple there in the third inning, and Haas with the sack flying and Salvi with the three-run home with all the offense we really needed in the fourth.
Salvadong Perez with number 14.
He could be giving Balboni a run for his money as well.
Salvadong Perez is hitting 286 with 14 home runs, 38 ribbies, 521 slug. What else you want from him? Beautiful hair.
Check. Maybe
gold glove.
Did you watch the fight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
Because I was going to have you argue with me about it because I spent 10 minutes arguing with someone on Twitter about the fight.
Oh, I'm not going to argue with you about that.
But then I found out it was, well, yeah, you know, I didn't watch the fight, but from what everyone's saying,
That's kind of hard to do.
Right. All right, good night. Then I remember this is why you don't argue with people on Twitter.
Right. No, I think you're on point. Everything you had to say in terms of the belt line, I mean, that's...
As a fan of Mexican boxing, we know the belt line is in play.
Yes.
The belt line is in play.
Yes.
Come and punch me right in my belt line. I can't say nothing. It's in play. You come in here and slug me right in the belt line, I can't do nothing. That's legal.
And look, you've seen guys...
Below the belt? Oh, no. No, 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 no. Please don't. You've seen guys what?
Hey, you've seen guys ride it high. You ride a high belt line.
You know why? Because you don't want to get hit low.
Right.
You know, you don't want to get hit in the stomach. But did you see, there was one, even like Kellerman, he barely got tapped right on the belt.
Oh, he was exaggerating
and,
everything.
And looking, he wanted out.
He did.
He was looking to hit. You know what? He was looking for a Z-trip. He wanted out of that. He wanted out of that fight. He wanted to get picked up and taken back to the hotel. Hey, I'm sorry. And
going back to the first fight, if you're going to beat the champ, you have to beat the champ. It can't be that close. And yeah, you're right. He never got over that. He never got over that. And
Kovalev was the champ because Ward moved up. And that was Kovalev's argument. You got to knock me out? Like, no, you just got to outbox you.
Andre Ward's the champ.
Right. Well, in our eyes, he's the name.
Yes.
You know, but that's, hey, but you know what, though? He doesn't get enough credit for moving up to fight Kovalev to fight a guy nobody wanted to fight. And he beat him twice. But you know.
There was a difference, and you could tell just in this pre-fight, you could tell there was a difference to Kovalev. He was almost fearful, and so he was acting pissed off because of that fear.
And I told you he was irritated, and you could tell that Ward was in his head. And I'm telling you, the fact that Ward got up from knocking him down and took his best shot and kept coming, some guys can't handle
that. That messes with you, yeah, absolutely.
And he could not handle that.
And just like I always said last week, Kevin, I always said, hey, you know, when you have a fighter and a boxer, and they're this close, I'm going to take the boxer every time.
Ask me if I love Andre Ward.
Do you hate Andre Ward?
Nope. I love him.
Okay. Why do you hate him?
I'm going to tell you this. I made a friend of ours very happy.
Oh, yeah?
A friend of ours did pretty well in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Based on a text message that he sent me from the sports book asking me, who do I take in this fight? I said, well, you take Ward. And I said, well, here's the deal. You can take Ward, but if you're looking to make some extra bank, tell him what the odds are. Maybe throw something down for him to stop Kovalev. Mm. And next day I sent that text message. How'd you do? Hey, thanks. Yeah. Mm. My work here is done. Just be sure, Kansas City, to let me wet my beak. Let me wet my beak. What's that mean? Find out after this on WHB. So, Jake, how did the U.S. Open work out for you?
Yesterday was a little bit of a letdown. I mean, Saturday was great. Saturday was awesome, exciting.
Who had the winner in your?
Oh, I don't know. Several people. I mean, there's over 750 people in this pool.
It's a big pool.
It's a lot of money. I mean, never mind. A lot of peanuts.
Right. So no. You didn't have him?
I did not have Brooks Koepka.
Why?
Was
that shocking to you?
No.
Is he anyone on your radar?
He's an up-and-comer. He's a younger guy he's been talked about, I would say, the last two or three years as a guy who has the potential he has the talent to win a major.
Well, here's what I like. I like watching when someone wins a major, the tender celebration kiss that he will share with a significant other. And this is no different. Brooks Koepka celebrated with the very lovely Jenna Sims. Very tender kiss. And why mm-hmm. wouldn't you? There's mm-hmm. a reason to kiss.
Sure.
U.S. Open champ.
Yep.
We did it, honey. Give us a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Buck, who I am no fan of, on the Fox broadcast. By the way, how did Fox do? I saw people complaining about Fox's broadcasting.
I don't have a whole lot to complain about. I know a lot of people, several guys that I was watching the U.S. Open with, they don't like, they have the tracer line on every shot off the tee box, and it doesn't bother me all that much, but some people, they don't like it.
You know who loves that?
Who?
Tupac, the cat that lives in our house. He sees that, and boy, it's really...
just up on the TV?
Watch that, you know, look around, maybe take a quick swat at that, see if he can't possibly knock that ball down.
I'm with Tupac. It doesn't bother me. I don't mind it.
Tupac gets on the TV. You can't do that.
I guess I like their effort at trying to be a little different or trying to at least make an effort to have it be different.
Right. Your cat's involved.
As a non-golf fan, it appeared to me that Fox is trying to make golf exciting. And people that like golf the way it's been don't probably want it to be different.
They don't want it to be exciting?
Well, I'm sure they would tell you the golf is exciting as it is, and it doesn't need to be changed. But they want the announcers to whisper, and they want it to be, you know.
Did you like it or not, Jake?
I
was fine with it. I was fine with it.
I mean, Fox was playing Bon Jovi, going to commercial breaks.
So would your dad like that or not? I don't know. Is his vision good?
He's old school. I don't know how. I think his vision's okay.
I'm thinking, will that help, you know?
I don't know about the line. I haven't asked him about what he thinks of the line thing. I was thinking more of just kind of the tone of the broadcast and how Joe Buck talks loud.
Right.
You know, like he's announcing as opposed to, like, most times you hear the golfers.
If my dad's watching something at this point, anything that could help him see it better and hear it better, he's a fan of.
Like,
you to yell at him.
I love the strike zone box being up there for every pitch in baseball.
Right.
I want to know exactly where the pitch is. I love that. But some people don't like it. They think it's distracting. They think it's
give it to me.
You know?
Give it all to me.
And, like, I know Danny Klingscale told me he can tell exactly where the shot's going from a camera angle no matter what. I can't tell, so it's nice for me to see that line because I can say, he hit it to the left or the right, whatever.
So Joe Buck sees Brooks Koepka kiss his girlfriend.
Yep.
And so Joe Buck decides, I'm gonna tell you all about this girl.
Yep.
Joe Buck identified the woman as Becky Edwards, a pro soccer player who used to be in a relationship with Koepka after both attended Florida State. So he goes on, he's talking about, there's his girlfriend or whatever, you know, and apparently tells you all about her.
Mm-hmm.
And the only problem was it was not Becky Edwards. Nope. It was the new girlfriend, Jenna Sims.
Incorrect.
Who will be appearing in Sharknado 5 later this year.
Oh, wow. There's been five of those already?
Not yet.
Well, it's been four?
Sharknado 5 later this year. If you'd like to see more of Miss Jenna Sims, former Miss Teen USA. Buck then corrected his mistake. So,
actually, I was watching live when it happened, and I think it was whoever his color analyst
Brad Faxon.
He's like, actually, that's his new girlfriend.
Well,
so, like, wait a second, what?
Who do you think would be more irritated, Brooks Koepka, or the new girlfriend, Jenna Sims? Or the old girlfriend, if she's watching, Becky Edwards. Because I can see, like, if she's watching, like, oh, no. Because do you really want your exes to do well? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you
do. It depends on the breakup. It depends on how things went down.
Most of the time, no.
But usually, you don't want them to become more successful than you.
I feel like that's more real talk than what you're trying to be diplomatic here.
I mean, it depends. Like, if you're having a great life and everything's going awesome, it's easier to be like, oh, yeah, good for him.
I think, because, I mean, it was only December. I mean, so we're talking about 4 or 5 months
ago. It's very raw.
Right.
Very raw.
So, I think later on.
So he goes and wins a major after you guys break up. Yeah.
So if you're.
He's dumped you for a movie star.
Right.
So she's. Sharknado, but maybe she dumped
you. It's not like 2 or 3 years later where she's probably like, oh, good for Brooks.
I'm not quite sure that Sharknado 5 makes you a movie star, but I'll go with it.
Yeah.
So if she's sitting at home and she's watching and you know, whatever the breakup was.
Your standards are
too
high.
There's got to be something like, oh, we break up and he wins the U.S. Open. Are you effing kidding me? And then you see him kiss the new girlfriend like, oh, are you serious? That should have been me. Or maybe she's like, I hate you anyway. I'm glad it's not me. But then they say it's you. Or do you think she was like mad? Like, damn it, that's not me. Or like, yeah, I'm still haunting your dreams, fool. I don't know. And like, if you're the new girlfriend and you go back and watch this, are you mad? Wait a minute. Why do they think?
Well, I bet she was pissed.
I'm the other girl.
Right.
What's
I bet
going
she was
on
pissed.
Here?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just glad it's all Joe Buck's fault. That's the main thing. And if you're Brooks, how do you handle that? Like, hey, I didn't say it.
Yeah.
Who's here with me? You made me a champ.
I was watching that. I was on my flight home from San Jose and, you know, on Southwest, you can watch live TV, and so they had the U.S. Open. I could watch it. And
easily the best player this week, leading the field in greens and regulation. His girlfriend, Becky Edwards, American soccer player at Florida State. So that's actually his new girlfriend. That's Jenna Simmons.
I don't know why the thing that caught me like was, for some reason, I like that's his new girlfriend.
Yeah.
I don't know why that phrase like that, that's his new girlfriend.
Hey,
that was the old girlfriend.
He's moved on.
Yeah.
No,
Joe, I mean, that's a hell of a color man, by the way.
Yeah.
Way to go, Brad Faxon. Because, like, you know, some of that dynamic, that's a hard thing to do is to correct your.
He saved his bacon right there. He stepped right in.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's like. That makes Joe look pretty bad.
Well, I'm just wondering who handed him that
card. Right, somebody handed him.
Oh, absolutely. Someone's like, he's like, you know, he probably, you know, talk back. I need Brooks's new girlfriend or his girlfriend.
Would you be happy if this Wichita woman that broke your heart won the U.S. Open?
At this point in my life, yes. But had it been like within 3 or 4 months, no, absolutely not.
That's ridiculous.
I'd have been.
She can't win the U.S. Open.
Well,
is she even golf?
No, she's not. She wasn't the golfer.
This guy thinks she can win the U.S. Open. I'm gonna take a break. Back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Eric Hosmer now has 500 ribbies in his career. Let's hear Ned Yost on the Haas picking up ribby number 500 for his career. Here's what Ned Yost had to say.
Well, I'm glad you told me that because I didn't know that. You know, Haas, we saw him get his 1,000th hit. But it's just cool. I mean, it's just the same feeling. You know, I just can't believe I've been here and seen Haas get 500 RBIs. I couldn't believe I was, you know, saw all 1,000 of his hits. And same way with Salvi's 100 home runs. It's hard to believe that I've seen every one of Salvi's 100 home runs. So it's really cool to watch these kids come up and, you know, get acclimated to the big leagues and have success like they have and become champions and continue to have success.
That's Ned Yost after the Royals get another win over the Angels, finishing the West Coast road trip 7-2. The Red Sox are waiting at Kauffman Stadium tonight. Back after this on WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. Coming up in the next, talk to Brian McCray. We'll also talk to Sam Mellinger at 8 o'clock. We've got some post-match sound from Sporting Kansas City. We've also got some post-fight sound from the Andre Ward victory over Sergey Kovalev, and plenty more from where that came from. And we'll also have some sound from Jake. Keep listening right here to Sports Radio 810 WHB.